When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can tell you.
This is the Final Word World Cup Daily, day 9. New Zealand playing Bangladesh in Chennai. Jeff Lemon and Bharat Sundaresan with you from Lucknow, where we will be watching Australia play Sri Lanka in a couple of days' time. Bharat, I'm going to start this one off with a summary of the game in 30 seconds. It was New Zealand's pace bowling that did the damage early. 4 wickets knocked over Bangladesh's top order. Mushfiqur Rahim and Shakib Al Hasan, the old firm, came together, put on a partnership of nearly 100, got them up to 245 with a bit of help from Mamadullah at the end. And then New Zealand, Kane Williamson, don't call it a comeback. It was a comeback. He came back. He made 70-odd, retired hurt in the end because he had a sore thumb, but his knee was okay. And basically, after some tough early stuff, they did it pretty comfortably. Yeah, a couple of wickets fell, and then Daryl Mitchell bashed him home at the end. And with 89 not out. New Zealand 3-3. Where do we start with this one? Do we start with Kane Williamson? Do we start with maybe it just felt like such a Bangladesh-New Zealand game.
Yeah.
It was exactly the way that you would expect a Bangladesh-New Zealand game to play out. Mid-range target, slightly tricky chase for a while, and in the end, the Black Caps get it done.
Yeah, it's always a scrap, isn't it, New Zealand and Bangladesh, especially when they play it in Bangladesh. It's different when they play it in New Zealand, but this in the subcontinent, Bangladesh always make New Zealand struggle and strive for that win. Mm-hmm. But even before all that, one question for you, Jeff. Are New Zealand the old South Africa, you know, where they used to dominate the league stages? Or is South Africa the old South Africa who are dominating the league stages? Because at the moment, this New Zealand team reminds me a lot of South Africa from 1996. You know, they get a big win early on against England, which New Zealand did back then. And also, you know, have a big win against a smaller team. And now they get this scratchy win out of the way as well. And they look flawless at the moment from top to bottom. We spoke about the fast bowlers on a pitch, on a Chepauk pitch, which was different to the one that was used for the India-Australia game. The fast bowlers came into play a lot earlier. And that's the thing with wickets in the south or even in the west. You go to Bombay, the red soil, it can bounce, it can spin. Chennai, the same thing. It can bounce, it can spin. Today, we got the bouncy pitch. Obviously, because New Zealand have better fast bowlers and everybody wanted to see that them in action. That's the only reason. You know, Lockie Ferguson was playing as well. No, but you saw a lot of wickets fall to the short ball. And that's the thing, right? The spinners are doing well and the batters are doing well. And now they have Kane Williamson back as well.
Well, in a way, I felt like Bangladesh did well to make it a contest after being 4 down with 56 on the board. So Lipton Das, first ball of the match out. Flicks Trent Bolt off his pads to fine leg, gets caught, and then it's Lockie Ferguson who missed the first game but has wheels when he's fit. He picks up a couple of wickets. Tanzid Hassan and Mahedi both flicking in the air. They're both caught, and then there's a leading edge off the bowling of Glenn Phillips, who gets rid of Shanto. And so they're 4 down. And it's I mean, sometimes Mushy and Shakib must feel like, come on, you know. Well, maybe Tamim Iqbal would have been handy at the top of the order. Who knows? Just a crazy thought, just floating that one out there. But they had to do the job again. And they looked really good for quite a while. And Shakib was a bit more, he started playing a couple of shots after he hurt his leg. Mushfiqur was going along at a higher strike rate initially, and then Shakib has a little quad strain as he's coming through for a single. He starts teeing off, relatively speaking, to how he'd been going beforehand. He whacks a big six off Rachin Ravindra over mid-wicket, and he hooks one off the faster bowlers, off Ferguson, which is sort of, it's a weird kind of, it's not even really a hook shot. He just places the bat there, and the top edge flies over, and then he plays a more full-blooded one and gets the big edge up in the air, and Tom Latham runs around. But during that partnership, it was all on them again. And Mushfiqur Rahim looked really, really good until he got one that just crawled along the floor from Matt Henry. He barely got up, and he was trying to pull the ball, and in the end, it hit halfway up off stump. And you feel pretty sorry for a player in those conditions. But those two doing what they do, what really stood out to me was New Zealand's fielding through that partnership, because the partnership was building, and it was worth 96 in the end, but it could have been worth 120 if New Zealand hadn't been as hot as they were in the field.
Yeah, and they've been the best fielding team as well. I spoke about their batting and their bowling. But yeah, what do you say about Shakib and Mushfiqur, right? Rahul Dravid said before the India-Australia game that he doesn't remember the time he used to play. He's forgotten the fact that he was a player. And he was playing. He was captain back in 2007. And Shakib and Mushfiq, I wouldn't even say made their debuts. They were already around, had been around for a while. But they kind of played a big role in knocking India out and changed world cricket forever, at least one day cricket forever, or World Cup cricket forever. And here they are still doing what they've always done. They're like the old uncles who just walk in and fix issues in your house, don't they? The classic subcontinental uncles. Uh-huh. And Shakib is finally...
They know how to rewire the fuse box.
Yeah,
when it starts fritzing out.
They just walk in and fix things for you. And Shakib's finally started looking his age as well. Like, every time the camera zoomed onto him, because he was sweating so much as well, humid conditions in Chennai, finally looked like an aging veteran. He generally hasn't changed much the way he looks. But yeah, it was a really good partnership. Classic Mushfiq Shakib took turns as to when to attack and when to defend. And you're right. I mean, at that point when they had the partnership just was about to break free, I felt as well that Bangladesh should get to around 275. And that could... who knows, not been a match-winning target, but it would have put more pressure on this New Zealand side. But it wasn't to be, and New Zealand pulled things back nicely.
Well, that's almost exactly what happened in 2019, isn't it? Didn't Bangladesh make, I didn't look this up beforehand, but I think it was about 272, something like that, and New Zealand chased it maybe 8 wickets down and struggled to get home in the end. It was an easier chase this time around because they managed to keep the squeeze on. Trent Bolt's perfect knuckleball, the one that got Hridoy to chip to cover, misreading it in the air, that was beautiful. Mustafiza was another player to fall to the short ball, so hooking at Matt Henry, a lot of players got out to that. Mahmudullah, towards the end, did a good job, 41 not, and took them through at 9 down and made sure they at least batted out their overs, and he bashed a 6 off Daryl Mitchell down the ground because Williamson had gambled in leaving one of his extra bowler allocations to the end, hoping that he'd get the last wicket. It didn't happen. Mitchell had to bowl the last one. Phillips had bowled a couple. Rachin Ravindra had done a decent job from his 7 overs wicketless, but got through them okay. But I mean, a couple of crazy numbers that stood out. Over 60% of the innings dot balls for Bangladesh. They just didn't rotate strike well enough. And had they done that, you can imagine up an extra 30 or 40 runs and what that might have meant for the total. Ferguson 3 for 49 with the most wickets. And Santner 10 overs, 1 for 31 at the ground where he plays with CSK. So did a great job. Henry 2 for 58, Bolt 2 for 45.
Can I correct you there? He warms the bench for CSK. A lot of people...
Where he trains for CSK.
I know, there you go. Like a lot of Chennai fans I saw on social media said, finally we'll get to see our Chennai Super Kings player play on his home ground, but not wearing yellow. But yeah, and he showed what MS Dhoni has been missing out on, playing him. And he's had a terrific tournament as well. And Rachin Ravindra, right? He just keeps impressing with bat and ball. The control he showed as well. And the 60% dot balls, that's been an issue for Bangladesh in white ball cricket.
Forever.
Right? They just can't do it.
It's always been the case.
Yeah, it's either like someone like Litton Das, who goes off and plays a blazing innings, or it's someone like this, and they just don't rotate strike enough.
Yeah, it's none or it's four, and that's been the case forever. And bad fielding has been another part of their story for a really long time, and that came to the fore in the chase as well. So, but the early bit was good. The early bit was interesting. So Ravindra goes up to open. They drop Will Young, as we expected. There's always, imagine if you're a player, I don't know what would be worse. What do you think? If you're a player who gets left out for someone else, is it better if they fail? Do you feel more annoyed if you get dropped for someone who then makes 10 and gets out? Do you feel like, oh, come on, like I could have done better than that? Or do you feel more annoyed if they go out and blaze 100? Or are you just a selfless team player who says, I am grateful for the good performances of my teammates? I'm sure that's what New Zealand would be inculcating. But
it's New Zealand.
Yeah.
everybody plays for the team.
Yeah, everybody has to be nice. Oh, look at us. Oh, we're so nice.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, drop me.
Yeah, yeah, drop me. It's fine. Whatever's for the best. Whatever's for the group good.
Yeah.
So Bangladesh started off interestingly. They got the two left armers, Mustafisa and Shorful, and they had them both bowl outside off stump with a couple of slips in. Quite wide and said, okay, chase us if you want to. And Conway and Ravindra said, no, we're not going to do it. It was very test matchy. They just left the ball alone for the first three overs. And then Ravindra gets out to Mustafisa, you know, really nice delivery that just stands up a bit off the seam. He's just trying to nudge it off the back foot and he edges that one through. So his first failure of the campaign. And I don't know, like just for a little bit, I thought, well, okay, this is going to be an innings where they do turn the screws. Yeah. And they did. And New Zealand only scored 28 off the first nine overs. And Williamson gets a couple of boundaries off the 10th, but it's still one for 37 off the power play, which is not a blazing start. But you felt like Conway and Williamson just had it in control. They were like, we're going to absorb, we're going to wait it out, and we'll start scoring once we get through this early period.
Yeah, and Kane Williamson was 2 of 19 at one point, wasn't he?
Yeah,
and,
2 of 19.
Yeah, and it looked like his innings was going nowhere. But just the first ball he faced as well, right? I mean, yes, he played a couple of warm-up games in the lead-up to this World Cup, but first international game in 6 months, just that classic Kane Williamson defensive shot where the ball always lands there and never there. And you know he was away. And look, he had the opportunity because they were chasing 246 to take his time a little bit. And Ravindra did get a couple of boundaries early on as well. So I think with Devin Conway, he has those gears, right? He's such a masterful builder of innings across all formats. We've seen it in Test cricket. We've seen it in T20 cricket. Chennai Super Kings. You speak about Mitchell Santner. He's just made hay on that Chepauk wicket for CSK, and that's what he did. He built his innings beautifully. Allowed Kane Williamson to just settle in, get his eye in. But the Kane Williamson innings was funny for me as well. Yes, it's about the runs, but we were all on injury watch, right? Every time he ran a single, is his leg fine? Oh, yeah. It's fine.
In the field as well. Every time he chased after a ball, you'd be looking for the stop. It was more when he had to turn back. He'd like run the first one and then look to turn for two, and he'd be quite ginger then, worrying about the knee. But well, yeah, we were worried it would collapse under him. It didn't. He just looked like Kane Williamson. Absorbed some good bowling, punished anything where there was width particularly. He'd pick off the odd boundary here and there. He hit 1-6, didn't he, off Shakib. But he gets dropped as well at mid-wicket. So Tahsin Ahmed, Williamson's on 27, shells the catch off Shakib, who's, you know, bowling despite being hampered by this sore leg that he's got. I assume he probably had an injection or something to get through some of his bowling spell because he has gone for scans on that muscle strain. And then Shakib, his next over, gets Conway out LBW. So, okay, well, maybe if the Williamson catch is taken, he gets one of the two, but you still feel like Williamson earlier is more important at that stage. And then Williamson could have been run out about three different times and wasn't. Throws missed. There was one particularly that was an easy one that just had to lob back to the bowler and the throw went wide. And eventually, a pinged in throw from Shanto hits him on the thumb as he's coming through for the run, and he retires hurt a couple of, the next over? You've got a busted thumb as well. So he's 78 from 107 balls when he says, you know what, we're close enough. We probably don't need me out here anymore, and this hurts a lot.
Yeah, and that was it. Like, we were on injury watch, like, in terms of what was happening with his legs, but it was that throw, rogue throw, came through, hit his thumb, and I thought at that point he might walk off then and there. Like, he might not continue. He was in a lot of pain, and it's the thumb which is exposed, right? It's just the cloth, because it's the top hand and the thumb is covered.
Behind
the bat. But at that point, I thought he'll walk off, but he continued on. Then Daryl Mitchell just walks in and, we say about a lot of these New Zealand cricketers, he did look a little iffy to start with.
He could have been caught first ball. This one, it's stiff to put down as a drop catch, I suppose. But he comes in, the ball after Conway's been given out LBW and the review has failed. And he tries to hit a six first ball. Well, succeeds in hitting a six first ball, but Mamadou down the ground at long off falls over backwards trying to take the catch. And so Mitchell gets six. But, I mean, had they held on to that one, then maybe Bangladesh would have been able to turn the screws. So I think it's an innings of lost opportunities for Bangladesh, but New Zealand made the most of their reprieves, and Mitchell from that point on was pretty much flawless.
Yeah, it's funny. The last 3 or 4 days, we've seen a few of those catches not being taken. We saw Bolt take one the other day, if I'm not mistaken, but we saw the Australians struggle with it yesterday. And here as well, Mahmudullah looked to have it in control. He's a pretty tall man as well. He takes the catch, but I think he off balances and like he hits his head pretty badly on the ground. I thought he might get concussed after that. But yeah, you're right. And there were a couple of balls where he just chipped it in the air. Daryl Mitchell just fell safely for his sake. But then he just powers on, doesn't he? He does what Daryl Mitchell does. He just takes down the Bangladeshi bowling, even after Kane Williamson goes off.
Well, he's just got such power. The way he whacks those straight drives down the ground, you know, plays the pull shots. So 89 not out in the end. It, well faster than a runner ball, and gets them there comfortably with a little bit of help from Phillips after Kane Williamson retires. So that's the match. Let's go to the Final Word Hall of Fame.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Hall of Fame, where we pick our most final word moments of the day. It's brought to you by Westfield London particularly. You can play more and pay less with the Westfield London Extra Pass. This is if you're in the UK. If you're not, tune out for the next 30 seconds. You can win a £1,000 gift card just for signing up. You could go to the UK and win this, Barrett, if you wanted to. This is the program, right? You collect virtual stickers when you spend £25 or more at one of the retailers that's participating, and then you get increasing discounts every time you get a sticker, and you get another entry to the grand prize draw. So, you know, the more runs you hit at sixes or the more cats you pat at the Java Whiskers Cafe. They have a cat cafe in Westfield now. I've just learned this yesterday. You can get more chances to win. So Google Westfield London. You'll figure it out. Follow the prompts to sign up for the Extra Pass program if you want to get involved with that. Let's get involved with some Hall of Fame. What, some things that I enjoyed. I liked, there was a really good Ferguson over where he bowls five dot balls. He's bowling fast. He's bowling fierce. And then the last ball of the over, Mushfika just leans back and uppercuts him for six and says, oh, I thought you were going to have a maiden over, did you? God, he still times the cut shot so beautifully, Mushfika or him. Like, he's been doing it for years.
And since 2007, as we found out. 2005, I think, when he makes his debut. But you're right. He has got that ability to... he also uses his height, or lack thereof, in a way, to get under the ball. And without having to get under the ball, he's always under the ball. When someone has quick as Lockie
Ferguson. Yeah, he can walk under your hotel room door.
Literally. But he uses his hands really well. So I don't think, at times when I see Mushfika Rahim, I almost feel like if he'd played for, I know it's one of those things, like if he'd played for another country, maybe we would have seen a lot more of him. He's got the arsenal, right? He can play the big shots. Mm. He can rotate the strike, but maybe we're seeing the last bits of Mushfiq and Shakib, and we should just enjoy what we have.
Sure. I liked Phillips at the point where he realised that Daryl Mitchell couldn't get 100 once the runs they needed were, it was going to be too difficult. Suddenly he starts playing all these slog sweeps and bashing the ball around. Also, so Daryl Mitchell generally at any other game is the sweatiest man alive. he's got that kind of PE teacher energy where he's got the hairy beard and he drips sweat all the time. But in Chennai, everybody else was Daryl Mitchell sweaty. Suddenly, Daryl Mitchell was not on his own anymore as an exemplar of perspiration. Everybody else was equally drenched. My God, that was the wettest cricket match I've ever seen. Like it was. So, I know we were there the other night, but when you're calling it from the grandstand, it doesn't stand out as much as when you're seeing all the big close-ups on the TV screen and there are torrential waterfalls. Did you have a final word, Hall of Fame?
It has to do with Daryl Mitchell. I think this is before he walked out to bat and the camera kept zooming in to him, and I don't know whether he knew he was on camera or not, and they're just singing his praises about how dangerous he is, how he's just transformed himself, he's a power hitter, and then he just starts yawning, and it's one of those massive yawns where like you can see right through it, like to the insides of his
yawn. Even just, you know, when someone yawns, even just talking about yawning made me want to yawn.
And like I think everybody was yawning like while watching it on TV. I'm surprised the commentators didn't start
it's a
yawning.
Mexican yawn the way around the stadium.
Maybe it was, but it was a massive yawn, and I don't know, just the timing of the yawn stood out for me. There you go.
Okay, the last bit I've got is, so I take this back to 2015. I don't know if you're familiar with the seminal work of LL Cool J in the early 90s, Mama Said Knock You Out, particularly. 2015 is when Bangladesh knocked out England out of the World Cup thanks to a century from Mamadullah. And so my anthem for that tournament was Mamadullah Said Knock You Out, specifically about England. And then, you know, tonight there he was almost knocking himself out. You know, the anthem keeps coming back and keeps repeating the fine work of LL Cool J long before he was the wacky chef in Deep Blue Sea with his sidekick, the Parrot. Right. He was in the boxing ring saying, "Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years." And I thought that could have been Kane Williamson's little mantra that he was muttering to himself as he came in and peeled off a yet another match-winning innings for New Zealand despite having been out with that knee injury. I think that takes us to the end of the Hall of Fame. What have we got? So we've got the injuries to Williamson and to Shakib, which both could be massive. Yeah, Williamson said the knee is good, but the thumb, he said, quote, is fat and colourful, which is in a way how I would like to be described in my later years.
Yeah, later years. You're fit now. Yeah.
Sitting in a lawn chair at the front of my house telling people, passers by, what I think of them. Fat and colourful sounds like a fun life, but not so good for the thumb. Mm. Hopefully that's okay. New Zealand atop of the table with 3 wins. South Africa, India, Pakistan all unbeaten with 2 wins at the moment. England and Bangladesh 1 apiece. And then Sri Lanka, the Dutch, Australia and Afghanistan down at the bottom yet to score. So that's where the tournament sits. Tomorrow, it's India, Pakistan. The big one, as they keep telling us.
Granddaddy, our granddaddy of them all.
Let's see how many seats.
Our great granddaddy of them all. The great great granddaddy of them all.
Which is weird because it hasn't happened yet. Like that's some kind of Benjamin Button shit.
Where I was watching the game, I think I got the Hindi Star Sports feed.
Yep.
And every 15 minutes or so, they showed Shubman Gill checking out the pitch. The same clip.
Okay.
On repeat.
Oh.
And if you did not know, have you mentioned this already? India and Pakistan are playing tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. I liked that they had ads running saying India and Pakistan are playing, which had a montage of Pakistani bowlers bowling and then Indian batters smashing boundaries. And then they also had an ad for India, Bangladesh, which had India bowlers bowling and Bangladesh batters being clean bowled. It's not subtle. It's not subtle well, what are you going to do? Right. This has been the final word. World Cup Daily, day 9. We'll be back with day 10. Bharat Sundaresan and Jeff Lemon signing off from Lucknow. We'll see you a luck later. I ain't breezing and I ain't George Benson. I ain't protected, brother, I ain't fenced in. And my future questions, my current senses, that'll be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go.